Welcome to Paw Print Academy, your blueprint to raising better dogs. My name's Ryan, and I'll be your host for this journey. I've got my trusty co-host here, Brianna.
Hello.
And together, we're bringing you real-world training insights built on leadership, structure, and proven methods. We record this podcast with live clients on the line in one take with live, unscripted questions and answers. At the end of the day, this podcast is a lot more than just teaching your dog to sit or stay. It's about building trust, creating calmness, and becoming the kind of leader your dog truly needs. We do that with our three-pillar method of trust, obey, and perform. Together, we'll show you how these three pillars shape every step of training. Thanks for being here. Let's get started. Episode 10, Puppy Biting and Jumping, Teaching Boundaries Early. So today, that is what we're talking about. We have, if you haven't noticed, because I didn't really announce it, we're kind of on a foundational puppy block of group call subjects. There's about seven of them. But it started with like puppy socialization, and then we talked about potty training and crate training, and now puppy biting, and I'm trying to remember what the next one was.
Jumping.
Puppy biting and jumping. Right. Now I'm on the spot. No, I can't remember.
It's building confidence next.
That's right. Yep. Confidence building in the puppies. All right. So as we break this down, it is welcome to the show. Before I get off track here, let me just rein myself back in. Welcome to the show. 10 episodes in. Who would have thought we would have made it this far? But we're still going strong. As we break down the concepts of puppy biting and jumping, this is not always 100% just about puppies. So the puppy biting is kind of its own, like, a behavior that you definitely see in young dogs and puppies, but it can also be the same type of mannerisms can exhibit themselves when we call it like mouthing, mm-hmm. right? Or when a dog has a hard mouth. Sometimes we'll say, yeah, he's just got a really hard mouth. Mm-hmm. Well, that we can use some of the same techniques in order to deal with that. Yeah. And so that's what we're going to talk about.
Yep.
Or if you have a puppy and maybe he just bites you and leaves marks and things because he doesn't realize that he's hurting you.
Right, yeah.
That's right off the bat. That's usually the biggest thing is that the puppies just don't know that that's not good.
Right, yeah. They think it's fun.
Right. It's like, what do you do with a kid who bites when he's little?
Right, but that's the thing is like babies don't bite, but what do?
I don't know. Scratch? What do?
They scratch kind of, but yeah, they like throw their hands around. They just like slap, basically. It's like, you know,
hitting. Yeah. That's a better
example. Just like swing their arms around and they just don't know. Yeah. It's like babies all the time are like slapping things and hitting
right
things and it hurts.
Little kids, they just getting sent home from daycare because they're just hitting everybody up in here,
right? Or even I mean, before they even get to daycare, they're still slapping. Like babies like come out of the womb like slapping with their hands.
Is that what they do?
They're just like trying to figure it out. Yeah, that is what they do. They're trying to grab it at first, but they can't like use their fingers.
Right. So they're just wailing.
Yeah. They're just
watch
wailing.
Out. All right. I'm gonna, once again, it's been a long week already. It's only Wednesday. I'm holding on. Let me get back on track. So puppy biting and puppy jumping both come from the same root problem. Just a lack of impulse control, right? And a lack of clear boundaries. So when we have a puppy. And you can apply this if you don't have a puppy at home and you have, you know, an adolescent dog or even an older dog. There is probably some impulse control things that we can always do better. Even if you have a great behaved dog, there's always some impulse control things that we can tweak and try to do better. So maybe some of these tips will help. So puppies use their mouths and their bodies to explore and test the world. And so you either teach the rules now or things are going to get worse, right? Yep. So dogs, a lot of times I hear owners talk about how I hopefully they grow out of this. Maybe they'll just grow out of it. But we often find that puppies more grow into things right. than they grow out of things.
Yeah, for sure.
And eventually, the behaviors or those habits, right, they grow into bigger and harder and riskier behaviors later. And so it's like demand behavior. A simple demand paw or little demand barking, whining, whimpering, things like that when you're not giving them a treat or you're not giving them attention, it is relatively means nothing to us initially. Mm-hmm. But then it can become a bigger issue. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're trying to head off. So to clarify, clarifying what behavior earns attention and what behavior ends the fun you're having mm-hmm. can do wonders to explain to your dog, who doesn't speak English, what is expected.
Yeah.
And what's not acceptable. And that's eventually going to teach your puppy how to channel all of that energy into something productive rather than something destructive. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really important. So, major point number one, why do puppies bite and jump? You want to jump on that one?
Yeah. A couple different reasons. Depends on where the puppy's at and its stages, right? So one, it could be teething.
Yeah.
If they're teething, they're gonna chew on things, right? Or like gnaw on things. Two is they think it's fun. It's turned into like a game most of the time, right? That's how they play.
Right. Cause when a puppy bites you, yeah. usually it's not comfortable.
Right.
Where it might start with like, oh, it's so cute.
Yeah.
But then it gets like uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually when you move the fastest.
Yeah.
So like when your hands, which look like tasty treats to a puppy, they bite at your skin or something. And when they actually hurt you, one of the number one things that we do is we like reel back mm-hmm. real fast. And that like immediately speaks to their genetic code of prey drive.
Yep.
Right. And they're like, whoa, mm-hmm. look at that. That thing moves so fast. That's so fun. And then their drive for that steps up even higher.
Yep.
And so that is where we start to see this concept that I talk about a lot, which is self-gratifying behavior. At the point where the dog doesn't need you to reinforce the behavior and they get what they want out of the behavior by doing it, well, that one is hard to break mm-hmm. because they don't need you to reinforce it anymore. And so when a puppy so we're talking about biting like hands, feet, stuff mm-hmm. like that. This could also be puppy biting and then chewing, right? Puppies grabbing shoes and then running off with them. Mm-hmm. All of this stuff, all of these behaviors, they really relate to the same thing, which is the puppy is finding something that is attractive to them. They're interacting with it, with their mouth, for a number of different reasons, but probably because it's fun. And it's engaging.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. Mm-hmm. And then we make it even more exciting because that's when we get loud. We get sometimes hysterical. Sometimes we move a lot faster with a lot more energy. And sometimes we stop watching TV or watching our computer or talking or whatever. And suddenly we dial in all of our energy right on the puppy. Mm-hmm. All of those things, it's like a perfect storm to reinforce that behavior that we don't even want in the first place.
Yep.
So just like talking about this and nailing down what's happening, you can put your own brain to, you know, to work here and be like, cool, in order to undo this or avoid this, I've got to do the opposite.
Yep.
All right. Another reason why puppies bite and jump. So the jumping, a lot of times that just comes from the puppy wanting to be closer to you.
Yeah.
Right. It's not usually that the puppy's like trying to dominate the situation and like, I'm going to body slam you. Now there are some breeds that do like to play that way. Mm-hmm. They love to body slam and like slam into you and be rough and stuff. But, just general puppies jumping up, most of the time when we see that, it's because they just want to get closer and they want to be touched, handled, or get some sort of affection. Yep. Or even just some engagement. And what's the number one thing that we typically do, if you can picture this, you walk in the doorway somewhere or even as a guest, and they've got a brand new little puppy who's exploring the world. They're just the cutest little thing, and they don't weigh very much. So it's not like, you know, it's not off-putting when they try to jump up or crawl up you. And it's really, really cute. So one of the first things that I see people do is reach down and reach for the puppy and interact with them. And even if you're not reaching for them because you are an excellent guest and you're like, oh, no, I don't want to reinforce that behavior, you're still kind of bending over at the waist in order to look at this puppy that's down here that's so cute, and you're giving them a whole bunch of attention and engagement.
Yeah.
And so it immediately shows the puppy that this is acceptable behavior.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it is for most owners initially, but then the puppy starts growing and then they get more demanding and then they get stronger and they start weighing more, and suddenly now it's inconvenient.
Yep.
But now we've got to play catch up because, well, we created that habit. If a puppy runs up and jumps up on you and you never, through its entire life, you never even acknowledged that it jumped up on you, you won't see it continue to jump up on you.
Yeah.
Because dogs only continue to do what is either reinforced by you or becomes self-gratifying.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that they do, because otherwise there's no attention, no love, no affection, no treats, no food, and no shelter provided by that activity. It serves no purpose, and so they don't do it.
Right. There's no reward.
Right. all right. Last little supporting point I had written down. Right. So, and I just touched on this, but puppies repeat whatever earns a payoff. So you've got to control your attention, your eye contact, your hands, and as well as the noises and sounds that we make, right? People, and this is where we see this a lot with kids squealing and screaming and all of these things when a puppy jumps up on them sounds so fun.
Yeah.
To a puppy, right? Like they're not tracking that this kid is screaming his head off because he's, you know, hurt or scared or whatever. Puppies just don't know.
Yeah.
So the kid who's screaming his head off because his puppy jumped up on him, that seems fun. And so they're going to keep doing it and or do it more, right? They all count. All of those things, they count as rewards.
Yeah.
So what is the best, what would you say the best advice is I mean, obviously we've covered all of the the reasons why this happens. Mm-hmm. What would you advise a client right off the bat? Somebody's like, my dog jumps on me when I come home. What should I do?
One, don't pay any attention to it.
Yep. So check out.
Yep.
This is maintenance, right? We have to create some maintenance for the behavior right off the bat. And the maintenance is how are we going to deal with it immediately differently than we have before? Mm-hmm. Then we can start to correct the behavior. But so go ahead.
Yeah. Ignoring the dog, not giving them any attention when you get home. That's going to be the easiest, most or least aversive, you know, method, obviously. After multiple repetitions of that, the dog is going to kind of give up and realize that they're not getting any attention from it. Let's see. If it's guests coming over and not just you coming in the door, you can put a leash on them, step on the leash. It will give them an automatic correction when they go to jump up because they won't even be able to jump up. Let's see what else.
So my advice right off the bat, is to remind people that puppies jumping and biting are totally normal behaviors. Mm-hmm. So that like right off the bat, you are not the only one who's ever dealt with this, and it's totally normal. Your dog's not a bad dog for doing it. We just probably accidentally taught them that it was either okay to do or really fun to do. And then it became self-gratifying. So now that you push them off of you or try to ignore them or all of these things, it's just kind of what they do and they don't know a different way.
Yeah.
So then I go into, all right, number one, ignore as much as you can. At some point, you're not going to be able to ignore. So that's where I am going to step into the dog space. So dog approaches me and they're about, this only works proactively. It doesn't really work like when the dog actually jumps up on you. But proactively, as you see the dog's kind of loading and about to jump up, you can step towards them and into their space and make the whole situation significantly more uncomfortable for them to jump up on you. Mm-hmm. The next one that I recommend is a leash. So let them drag a line. Let them drag a line. And then I put my foot on the leash with enough slack for the dog to not feel leash pressure. Mm-hmm. And then I slide my foot on the ground around the dog and wherever I'm going, I just slide my foot so that the dog can remain on that loose leash unless the dog jumps. And at the point where the dog jumps, they receive leash pressure on their own accord. Mm-hmm. And it's instantaneous right as they jump. And also the leash pressure is in the direction of the floor, kind of correcting them and telling them non-verbally in what direction you want them to go, mm-hmm. which is back down to the floor. Most times when I start working on correcting that, it doesn't take very many times for the dog to feel that pressure for them to then put all four paws on the floor. And at that point, that's where you reach down and give them attention. Mm-hmm. So we can start to reinforce and build some excitement for just standing there or just sitting there.
Yeah.
And then that's how you install a new habit.
Yep.
Okay. Number two, major point number two, teaching bite inhibition and the four paws on the floor. Man, I keep doing this. I kind of allude to the next thing before we get there. It's like, it's got good flow, but I keep jumping ahead too far. So we can use toys for chewing. We can introduce, right? So we talked about the four paws on the floor thing already. So we'll cut to the chase and let's do puppy biting. So puppy starts, runs up to you and starts nibbling. What's your go-to? Starts nibbling on your fingers.
If it's a puppy, I usually try to like redirect to like a toy.
Yeah.
Give them something they're supposed to chew.
So right off the bat, like the least aversive and the least intrusive thing that we can do is just redirect their energy and then give them something they can chew on, give them something they can bite, mm-hmm. and then praise them, right? Praise them for it. Yep. And that can do, you can do the exact same thing with stuff that the dog's not supposed to have. So this doesn't just apply to puppy biting, but it also can apply to, hey, don't take this. You can't have that. Here, you can have this instead. Mm-hmm. Use your marker words. Use your marker words to show the dog that, yeah, you can have this. This is good. Great job. And then make sure that whatever interaction that you're having, anything that's pleasurable in that interaction completely ceases at the point where they're doing the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Because that's usually the opposite of how we trained the dog to interact with us in the first place that is now getting us bit. Mm-hmm. So we want to totally check out at the point where we're like, oh, such a cute puppy. Oh my gosh, it's eating my hand. And at that point, I'm going to remove my hand. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to take away all of my attention and I'm going to ignore the dog.
Yep.
And there's probably levels to that, right? But end the interaction. You don't need drama. You don't need yelling, but you need to set a clear boundary. That's like, nah, I'm not into that.
Yeah.
A lot of times that was how we went off the path in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way that we get back on path. Mark the calm engagement times. A lot of times we forget to tell the dog that they're doing the right thing when they're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And so we only correct and increase our volume and get involved in what the dog's doing when they're doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And so then they go around and they're like, cool, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. I can't do anything in this place. Right. This place sucks.
I can't do anything.
So we've got to tell the dog that they're doing good when they're doing nothing, which is hard to teach people sometimes. The dog's just, because the dog's just laying down. Well, you need a way that you can calmly tell the dog, hey, good job for just laying down. Great job. Just keep doing it. That's where our obedience training comes in. That's where our markers come in. That's where all of these things come in, to where we can tell the dog and communicate with them clearly without increasing their excitement. Mm-hmm. Because here's the next thing that usually we get off on, we mess up on, is that we haven't really taught the dog all of this stuff. So when we go to interact with them and tell them, hey, good job, we gave them some interaction, some engagement, and they immediately spaz out. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my gosh, he's coming to pet me. But we didn't take the time to like give these repetitions of, let me just say good one time and give you one pet.
Mm-hmm.
Which can decondition the dog from thinking that every time you come over, you're going to wrestle with them.
Yeah.
And instead, I'm giving contact, but just one pet. Mm-hmm. Because, hey, good job. You sat. Good. One pet.
Yep.
Down. Oh, good. one pet. Those things, by repping those out and focusing on that obedience side, we can then use that to our advantage when we're dealing with these other things.
Yeah.
All right. You got more to add on that one?
I don't think so.
All right. Last one I've got is that calm praise can build calm behavior. Excited praise.
Just what you just said.
Yes. Right. I know.
You moved on to it without right. knowing.
It's like I'm just cruising through my notes from the back of my head, I guess. But the excited praise, it builds chaos, right? It just, it can amp the dog up. And so that's fine. Sometimes you might want to do that. You want to amp the dog up. Like, cool, it's time for playtime. Then by all means, get that excited praise out and increase that energy level. But the rest of the time, we wanna help the dog learn that calmness is okay.
Mm-hmm.
So calm praise. Calm praise can build that. Go-to drill for teaching bite inhibition. All right, so do you have something to jump in on this one, or you want me to go down this road?
Yeah, I mean, you're welcome to go down the road. I mean, when I look at bite inhibition and teaching it, I just look at, like, redirecting a lot to, like, toys. It's like, they bite you? Cool, pick up the toy. Reward for picking up the toy.
Yeah, so I was going to talk about it from a different perspective, which is, like, so bite inhibition is a trait that usually gets picked up by puppies when taught to them from their mothers, right? When a dog is relying on their mothers for feeding, right, for their mother's milk, when they bite too hard, they will oftentimes get a correction from their mom, either through, you know, a growl or through a snap or even just through a yelp, right? And at that point, a lot of times a mother will push the dog off or away or paw the dog away and be like, well, fine, no food for you.
Yeah.
That teaches a puppy very quickly that, like, ooh, that was too much. I've got to be gentler. Well, when you take a dog away from their mom too early, those are the dogs that statistically have harder mouths. They have less bite inhibition because they didn't learn it from their moms.
Yeah.
So if we understand that, we can also teach some of this bite inhibition. And there's a couple of things that they're not probably mainstream, but you can find a couple of these tips out there, right? One of them is a high-pitched yelp. So this doesn't work with all dogs, but there are a few that it's worked pretty well. So what I'm talking about is puppy bites you, and as they're biting you, you give a very quick, shrill, high-pitched yelp.
Yeah.
Just like a little puppy, as two puppies are interacting and one puppy bites or plays too hard and the other puppy yelps, that can be picked up by a puppy who's willing to receive that.
Yeah.
And it can explain to them in a way that they're kind of open to, of being like, oh, that was too much. Because at the same time, you're going to do all these things that we've already talked about. Stand up, remove yourself, take away the fun, introduce something else.
Yeah.
All of those things communicate pretty clearly to the dog that, oh, that was too much. That's where we draw the line. I can't do that. Another option. You can and this one throws, some people will get into this, some people not. You can just put a single finger down on the tongue of the dog. Mm-hmm. We're not grinding the dog's tongue down. We're not making it super aversive. All you're doing is, if your fingers are already in the dog's mouth, which first I would question why they're in the dog's mouth. But number two, if they're already there, you have the option to pull them out without just pulling your hands or your fingers through the teeth. Mm-hmm. Just with just your index finger or whatever fingers in their mouth, just push down lightly on their tongue and create some pressure. And most dogs will immediately just kind of like back up. The pressure will just back them up. Mm-hmm. And they'll open their mouths in order to just get away. And that immediately create some distance for you, even if it's just a few inches where they're not actively pursuing and now their body weight has shifted back. That should be enough for you to remove your hand and then move on with all of the other things that we've already talked about.
Yeah.
All right. So those are my go-tos for teaching bite inhibition on a dog who either didn't learn it or we have not been proactive in teaching it right off the bat. I highly recommend that you don't, or what I am not saying here for clarification is just act like a dog, right? Where you're not going to fool your puppy into them thinking that you're a dog. Act like a human.
Right.
Right. I'm not going to get into there's a whole different path here where it's like, oh, well, you can mimic the behavior of a puppy and do this and do that. No, just be the leader. But some of these things, just like we can use vibration and things that we can use, things that we've detailed in the past where we're not looking to be aversive to the dogs. We're looking to break the pattern of whatever it is that they have decided is what they want. Mm-hmm. Breaking a pattern is always preferred to controlling what the dog does.
Yep.
All right. How the power of marker words, right? We did a whole podcast on this, but if you don't understand, the marker words give us the power of anticipation. And as we start to condition the different marker words, it gives us clear ways to communicate with the dogs, even puppies. Mm-hmm. They will not understand all of your noises and sounds. But if we start training them that this yes means that they're getting a treat and no means that they're getting whatever it was that was fun taken away, that gives you clear communication to start correcting behaviors. Mm-hmm. Use your marker words because it's less words. You cannot talk to your puppy. You cannot tell it, hey, don't do that. That's bad. That they didn't get any of that. We've got to simplify our communication and speak to the dogs with things that they do understand. All right, this one's a good one. How do you stop a puppy who jumps on everyone else but not the owner? It's a riddle, a trick.
Right, so, yeah. Riddle me.
Right, you have more people over.
Right, and you use on-leash greetings.
Use on-leash greetings. Just mm-hmm. like what I just said, owner stands next to the dog, controls the dog with the leash, the same way that I just kind of detailed. But you have to have other people over because I've seen this in a dog too, where the owner is the only one that doesn't get jumped on.
I was about to say, yeah.
And so then they can't train the dog not to jump on people because it doesn't jump on the owner.
Right. Yeah.
So you have to sometimes put your dog in the positions where they're going to exhibit the behavior that you want to correct.
Yeah.
That's not the same as setting your dog up for failure so that they just fail, fail, fail.
Right.
It means that we've got to pattern the dog. We've got to use patterns for the dog to understand.
Yep.
And if you cannot introduce the dog to some of those things that do trigger the issues, well, then you're never going to be able to fix them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of a trick question, not a trick question.
Right. Yeah. It's not rocket science.
All right. Last one, major point three. Consistency creates respect. So our mixed messages often confuse puppies and pretty much seal our fate, guarantee more biting and more jumping. So every family member has got to work together on this.
Yeah.
Because puppies of all the types of dogs, like they're their own breed, puppies are not going to understand why they can wrestle and be rough with and bite dad. We'll just go with these traditional values because I often see the men in the household being the little rougher playing with the dogs.
Yeah.
And then they run in the other room and they bite the kids and all heck breaks loose.
Yeah.
And then there is this mismatch because the dog's like, well, what the heck?
Right.
I don't understand. I was just playing over here and then I was just playing over there.
Right.
But you have to assume that however you play with the dog is going to play with other people the same way.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and there, I don't think that puppies have as, a lot of times I talk about how you can just play with a dog in one area and not play with them anywhere else, and then they'll be more apt to play in that area and not in the other places. Case in point, like I play with my dogs outside and we don't play inside. So when we come inside, they just drop their toys off, or there's no real value in the toy because we never play with them inside.
Yeah.
However, I have not experienced a whole lot of puppies that truly can differentiate all of that stuff yet, because they are still learning how to use their limbs, right? Like puppies got a lot going on in their head. They're not paying attention to the more finer details of like, oh, cool, this is acceptable here, but I should understand that it's not acceptable there. That is a much more mature dog concept that you can eventually teach to puppies with very strict consistency. But I'm not going to recommend it. What I'm going to recommend is that you be consistent across the board through all the family members. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got to work together and enforce the same expectations.
Yep.
All right. Attention, affection, and play. Those are the three major things that we can use to reward our puppies on a daily basis. None of those, that's not even like their like food, right? Some dogs are going to have high food drives. Some dogs won't be as food motivated, but all puppies love affection and attention and play. All of those are options for rewarding your calm behavior. And by teaching them that calmness is what precedes those things, they will offer that behavior. They will offer that calmness more often, which will give you a leg up. Jumping. So jumping disappears the fastest when it never works, right? Everything that you don't want disappears fastest when it doesn't work.
Yeah. The one time they get that attention from jumping is the one time that they're like, oh, I'm just going to keep doing that then.
Yep. And so we've got to make sure that we do not, I keep just saying the same thing, consistency, mm-hmm. consistency, consistency. Yeah. You just can't take a day off.
Yeah.
You can't. When you're raising a puppy, it's a full-time job. Mm-hmm. You cannot take a day off. You can't take an hour off, because when you do, and they're like, they're constantly exploring the world.
Right. You can take an hour off if they're in their crate.
Right. Right. Circle back to last week. Right. That's why the crate is so important. It's because you've got a life to live too. And there's no part of us that expects you to be dialed into your puppy 24 hours a day. That's mm-hmm. not realistic. So you should crate train them.
Yep.
All right. Reward their calm choices, and then that's going to build their motivation to make those better choices. Calmness, reward calmness. That can be a skill. That should be an obedience thing. It's like, how do you, you're not going to have a command for it. Calm, be calm, mm-hmm. right? But when you see it, everyone knows what it looks like.
Yeah.
And when you see it, reward it. Mm-hmm. Tell them they did the right thing. Give them that one pet. Also work on that, decondition that so that they don't freak out as soon as you come over there and give them mm-hmm. any attention. Yep. What is an example? So how there's some people that are listening, they're going to be like, well, you guys just harp on all of this structure and stuff, but I just want to enjoy my puppy while they're a puppy. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. They're only going to be puppies for a little while, but they're going to be dogs for a long time.
Yep.
And what you do now is going to teach them what is acceptable going forward. I know that they're only going to be puppies for a while, but whatever they figure out works now, they're going to keep doing. So, I mean, make your own choice, but you got to understand they're going to grow into it, not out of it.
Yeah. 100%.
All right. So why is timing more important than intensity?
Because I think if you focus on the intensity of correcting a dog for biting, they're going to be more prone to, one, either be fearful, or two, to think it's a game, because they're not going to differentiate that you're mad versus, oh, well, your volume just increased. So you can begin to kind of antagonize the situation rather than addressing it and fixing it. But if you can knock it out as soon as the behavior starts, and even if you're rewarding behavior, I mean, we always go back on like timing is super important when you're rewarding. It's just as important when you're correcting, because whatever you correct, when you get that no out, that's what you're correcting. Just like when you mark with yes, that's what you're rewarding, whatever the behavior is that you're marking at that time.
Indeed. I like it. All right. I'm going to open it up for questions. If we've got any questions, now is the time. Go for it. No questions tonight. All right. No problem. No problemo. All right. So then let's go into listener projects. Every week I try to give you two projects that you can work on and try to instill into your dogs. Mm-hmm. These ones are specific to puppies a little bit, but I think you can adapt them and kind of have the same idea. So chew toy redirection. So Bree talked about this a couple of times, but keep 2 to 3 approved chew toys nearby. You need to have some easy access to these. If the puppy bites your skin or something that they're not supposed to have, I want you to just calmly redirect to the toy. All we're going to do is we're going to use any of the techniques that we talked about to remove yourself from the situation, redirect to the toy. Do it quietly. Just introduce that toy.
Yeah.
And at the point where the dog puts it in his mouth or interacts with it, mark yes, right? The moment or whatever marker word you use, but mark yes, the moment that they engage with the toy. Do this every single time. The repetition is what's going to create the habit. When we're trying to get a dog to stay in their place or for a long period of time, we can introduce something that they really like, that they want to interact with, but only allow them to have it on their place bed. That's going to increase the likelihood. It's not infallible, but it's going to increase the likelihood that they're going to want to stay there because that's where they get to interact with this thing. When they come off, you're going to just take it away and put them right back in their place. Mm-hmm. So it's the same concept with the chew toy. All right, project number 2, the end game rule. So during play, if the puppy bites or jumps on you, say no, and then we just stand up, turn away, and we calmly disengage. So the no predicts you are going to end the game. Mm-hmm. If the puppy offers calm and respectful behavior, all right, well, then maybe you can re-engage. But you watch, just like you are willing to end the behavior, you should also be willing to initiate the game again when the dog performs the behavior you do want. We don't want to always be negative with the dog. Sometimes we want to reinitialize, or we want to engage them in a game, but we want to do it on our terms as they do what we ask them to do.
Yep.
All right. That is all I got here for episode 10 on puppy biting and the boundaries that we need to create in order to facilitate that. Mm. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. Oh, Lord. I hit that button a little too fast here. Let's try this. Here we go. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining us tonight. Right, that one threw me off. The dangers of doing the whole live show thing. As you guys think up questions and things, feel free to leave a comment on any of the podcasting things. Most of them get funneled to me. Welcome to reach out through Ryan at topdogtrainingnc.com. And that's all I got for tonight. Thanks, guys, for listening in.
Thanks, guys. Good night.